Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ, in this his epiphany, shining forth as true God. You've heard the word of the Lord from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Let's bow our heads in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. Dear teammates of the great champion, anybody thinking about football today? Isn't it kind of a religion for some people? I got family members that won't want to talk about football at all because, good grief, do they ever, you know. But, I mean, for some, maybe. Spiting the Lord's first commandment, you know, you shall have no other gods. We always glom onto these things, but really it doesn't have to be that way, does it? Don't we all need diversions, things that we can think about, something that's just more fun than the day-by-day drudgery? And isn't sports at its best more something like a place where you can invest emotion without risk? I mean, watch the pictures of the way they dress at football games. I mean, whoa, there's no risk there, right? Whoever sees you, whatever. No risk? Really? No risk? Well, not if you're just watching, maybe, but if you play sports. Let's say it's college football. And you're not so big, you're not so strong, you're not so fast, and you're not so smart, so they put you on the line. No offense to other former linemen here. And one day, in practice, all these college football players who are suddenly much bigger, faster, and smarter than what you remember in high school, they're all lined up for practice. You are an offensive tackle, and you're running a play called pulling the tackle, it doesn't matter. It's your job at the snap of the ball to run behind the line of scrimmage, behind the center, and nail that linebacker that keeps blitzing on this side. They're letting him through this time. You're going to just smash him. Okay, great. First time you run the play. Problem is, he's really a good linebacker. He sees you coming the first time, and it's kind of like brushing off a fly when you smash into him. What happens? The coach says, run it again. And again. And again. And now your teammates are saying, what's this all about? And the coach says, I just want to see him nail him. But he was smarter and faster before, and now he knows you're coming. Why do people do this? Why put yourself through that? What's it worth? Why do men do that? Remember when they used to ask that question? That was before girls' sports came alive. Yeah? Yeah? I don't know. The women in my life are pretty competitive. I don't know. Why do we do this? Why put up with all that? Isn't it the life lessons? Isn't it the corollaries between what happens out there with a team on the field and what really is part of our faith as Christians? Everything in life God can use as a lesson for what he teaches us in his holy book. So the playbook of the Holy Spirit is before us today. We are looking at the Lord Christ, our Epiphany Lord. As he's shining in his epiphany, we are being blessed by this central thought throughout this message from the first chapter of Jeremiah, as he is being inducted into the ministry, becoming a prophet of the Lord. He is looking ahead, as all the prophets did, to the coming Christ, the Messiah, still almost 600 years off. We want to see how Christ gives us everything And I'm not exaggerating. If anything, that's an understatement. Christ gives us everything for life. Start with life. If you would read the verses right before this, a little Bible history here, why would anyone want to be a prophet of the Lord? Why would anyone be involved in this sport? In earthly sports, most everybody walks off the field. You just have to hope, right? But here the stakes are eternal. This is the forever game for the soul. Hard to even call it a game. And the kings that are mentioned in the verses before this, Josiah was the last good king of Judah, and his sons and grandson tore down the kingdom after that. It was dreadful. Jeremiah is on scene in Jerusalem when he has to present a message to the remaining kings and the people. Not a happy message. Why would anybody do that? Why would anyone want to be a prophet of the Lord? He says, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. All things were made by him. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And the word became flesh, took on flesh, the word, and lived among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. You know it's talking about Jesus. He was there as the Word in the beginning. Sometimes like this, when it says the Word of the Lord came to me, you can almost picture Jesus stepping into the room as the pre-incarnate Christ, the angel of the Lord, he's sometimes called. He came. He has a message for Jeremiah. And not a particularly welcome message. But you know, if you find this too depressing and you feel like, oh, this preacher is really getting personal here, you know, it's talking to me, just realize that before any preacher that we have the training from, we apply this first to ourselves. And I'm not thinking of any individual here. So don't take it personally, but take it all personally, but not painfully, to heart. Take it to heart for the healing that God has coming in all of this. If you would turn away from Jeremiah and say, he's just the weeping prophet, too depressing, don't want to hear it, you would miss some of the sweetest verses ever penned in these opening verses. And so timely in our society right now, if you know what's going on in state houses across the country where they are legalizing infanticide. Death in the womb isn't enough anymore. Now they want to also give the permission to kill the baby after the baby is born. This is what God has to say about that. And catch these sweet words, because this is for us. The word of the Lord came to me, that's Christ, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. It's an amazing thing about the God of the Bible, who keeps saying this down through the centuries. It was written over 1,600 years. 40 different authors, inspired by not some angel telling them what to say, but the Holy Spirit. That's the claim of the Bible. Test it. There can't be any mistakes. None. Examine it. Look at it real close. The Bible is the only religious book I know that says, test everything. God wants you to test this. Here's the test. How long has God known you? He's telling Jeremiah, the prophet here, what the Lord tells us in other places. I knew you from eternity. I knew you by name. God knew Roland's name before you chose the name for Roland. He knew us before we even existed. This is God the Creator, this infinite majesty, infinite intelligence, and throughout the Word of God, this book of books, he says this over and over again, you're not an accident. You didn't just happen. You're mine. This is God trying to reach through all this fog around us and all this clutter and grab hold of your heart and in a loving embrace and say, you're mine. I knew you before I formed you, Jeremiah, and all people. Before you were born, I set you apart. And in life, I have a job for you. He says, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. That would not be my favorite assignment. Really? You know why the prophets over and over again in the Bible balked at this? They did not want to be prophets or preachers. Do you know what most people identify as one of the most frightening experiences for them? Public speaking. They actually put that as more fearful than death. I agree. It's frightening. Every time. It is. I appoint you as a prophet. You're going to have to talk. And guess who you're going to talk to? He wasn't just sending him to the Jewish people. That would be bad enough. There would be conspiracies for what Jeremiah would have to say in the preaching of this word. But conspiracies where they actually, the Jews, his own fellow Jews, wanted to kill Jeremiah the prophet. And they keep saying in Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, all these prophets, as it gets closer to the destruction of Jerusalem and the Babylonian captivity, this bad news to the king and the soldiers, no matter how hard you fight, you're going to die. This temple is going to be destroyed. You are going into captivity for 70 years. That was prophesied through Jeremiah. You think the people like that? So he hears about this plot. This is later in the book. And as a preacher, this really gets to me. Because there was an actual conspiracy against Jeremiah to kill him for preaching God's word. And what's the Lord's word to Jeremiah when he comes and complains to the Lord about this? This is what the Lord told him. If you repent, if you utter worthy, not worthless words, you can be my servant. Preachers can get pretty arrogant. The pride. And then something happens and you think, oh, woe is me. How? And this, and we all complain in life about this. Just remember Jeremiah when he was complaining about something really bad, evil people. And what's the Lord say to him? He doesn't discriminate. The Lord does not discriminate. He just calls everybody to repentance. And that includes Jeremiah. Includes you. Calls us to repentance in the things that we don't like to hear because he's got something to tell us and he wants us to be ready for it. So a prophet to the nations and not just the Jewish people, but the Gentile, the non-believers. That's all of us who maybe aren't Jews. He was sent for us to be our Savior. With this message for life, and Jeremiah doesn't like it. Did you hear what he said there in that next verse? He says, ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child. If you get an assignment like this, it's going to take courage. You're going to have to actually go, as the Lord says, you are my witnesses. You are going to have to be counterculture in a world of very stubborn people. With a stubborn heart of your own, with all the sin that's there, who am I to speak up and point out anybody else's sins to them? We all feel that way. You are my witnesses, the Lord says. There is this message of law and there is this message of gospel and you need to preach it, Jeremiah of the world. So, here's Jeremiah. This is his comeback to the Lord and it should sound familiar. I'm only a child. I don't know what to say. Does that take anybody to the burning bush where Moses sees this bush out in the desert burning but not burning up and the Lord says, go back to Egypt and tell the Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses says, I've never been really eloquent. I don't really talk too well. And well, would you send somebody else? The Lord gets really angry at that. But when the Lord is angry, watch his mercy. When the Lord gets really upset and the prophets have just about set you back on your heels and you're just feeling like there is no hope for me, these prophets will come with this good news of grace and mercy and what the Lord does to help. I mean, a coach with complaining players, run it again, run it again, run it again. You just don't argue. You just run it again. Why? Because you know that the coach has your best in mind. Was there ever one like our Creator? who made us first, and then we rebelled with Adam and Eve. That's not just myth and legend. That's real history. As the Bible puts that forward, the only eyewitness was God. But the plan was, from all eternity, for God to send his Son to be the Savior. He had a solution long before time began. I don't understand everything I'm telling you. I cannot answer all the questions about this. I can only tell you what is written. It is written, it is written, it is written for our learning, for our blessing. He wants us to know, because he's got a plan. And first, in order to get this across, to give us the courage that he wants us all to have, he's got to correct his prophet. And so he says, in correction, the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. Sometimes the Lord has to tell us, don't talk like that. Many of us in college, at a preacher's college, were struggling with whether or not to be pastors, and probably didn't like what the dean of students asked all the young men there. He always kept saying, if not you, who? Oh, just about anybody else I can think of, maybe. No, if not you, who? When God gives you the gifts, you go. Okay, I'm not supposed to say that. Don't say I'm only a child. God then doubles down on it. He says, you must go to everyone to whom I send you and say whatever I command you. Really? Mm-hmm. Everything I command you. And then he says, do not be afraid of them, because I am with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Do you realize that from the beginning of the Bible to the end, from Genesis to Revelation, there is this thing that happens to people every time they come into the presence of God after the fall? When Adam and Eve had rebelled against God and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, it wasn't like all the other times before that where they were just glad to walk and talk with God. This time they tried to hide from him because they're feeling shame. They broke his command. Sometimes we just have to realize that when God speaks, thou shalt and thou shalt not, it's not 10 suggestions. It's the 10 commandments. And the soul that sins will die. The wages of sin is death. It's not just death of this body, but eternal death in hell, and that's what it says. But it hastens to add what the Lord says after that. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the coach correcting his players and saying, don't be afraid, I'm going to be right there with you. When you fall, I will pick you up. When you're just hurting, not just in your head, your body, but in your heart from the things that people say when you try to do your best. You know, the times when you spend the most effort and all, the, you know, it just all of a sudden nobody cares. You feel that way. Everybody does. I'm there, he says. I'm right there with you. I will be with you. You know what Jesus' name was? Remember that one? Christmas? You're thinking of it. I could see it. Joseph did not want to marry Mary because she was pregnant and he knew the child was not his. And the angel came and said, she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. This is the Son of God. Because a prophecy, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to call him Emmanuel, God with us. Over and over again, that Holy Scripture says that God would send his Son to be God with us and take away our fear. And when the Lord says, do not be afraid, like to the shepherds outside of Bethlehem, do not be afraid, he takes away our fear and then he fills us up with the courage that we need to move forward. And move forward not aimlessly, but move forward with purpose. Do not be afraid of them, because I am with you. I will rescue you, declares the Lord. You don't need Wi-Fi access now. You do not have to download any files. You don't need to hunt for an old CD player. This is how God gets his words into the mouth of his prophet. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. The Lord said to me, there, I have now placed my words in your mouth. well, that's a good one, Pastor. That's not going to work for me. I don't remember the Lord ever reaching out and touching my mouth. There is a promise that the Lord gives to all his witnesses. And when you know that you have prayed dangerously, God, give me opportunities to share my faith, and now God puts you in that dangerous position where you must speak up because it's your time. He says, open your mouth and I will fill it. Trust me. He told Moses at the burning bush, who gave man his mouth? I created you with this. So the Lord, in his great mercy, keeps on giving us more from his word to fill up our hearts, to overflow, and that overflow is for everybody. There I've placed my words in your mouth too. But look. Look at this, he says. Today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms. You think you're just a little prophet from Judah. I put you between Egypt and Aram and Babylon and the Hittites. You are right here on this little strip of land where you've got to talk to all these people, these kings, these nations, and here's your job, here's your message in summary. To uproot and to tear down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. I don't know about you, but my heart says, could we just skip the first part and go to the last part? Could we just talk about happy things? Even the prophets like Isaiah, 100 years before Jeremiah, the people kept telling him, stop confronting us with the Lord God of Israel. Don't tell us about our sins. Don't tell us the bad part. Many churches and pastors, preachers have bought into this. We are in a time that was prophesied in the Bible when men will gather around them a great number of preachers who will say what their itching ears want to hear. And you sure don't want to hear about being uprooted and torn down and destroyed and overthrown. So the vast majority of seminaries today and preachers today will say, well, there is no real hell. God would really not damn anyone. So I would say, if I was on the outside looking in at the church, I would say, what do I need with the church then? I wouldn't come. I got other things to do. If there's no hell, I guess we don't have to worry about it. If the preachers are right that are saying everybody's going to heaven anyway, or that one man who told me he wasn't afraid of hell because all his friends would be there, he'd have plenty of company. Seriously, he just threw that right out there. Well, what's the point? Why worry about it? Apparently God was worried about us from all eternity. Because that holy book of books says that God planned from before time began that his son would step in as the champion of all people so that you and I, who could at least be honest with God when we hear his word and realize I'm not good enough for the Holy One, that you and I could see that shining face of God's kindness and mercy in the face of Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, and realize he's on our side. Even though this coach says run it again and again and again, and it hurts, it's embarrassing, it's something you'd rather do not anything else, go for it, he says. I'm there. And then you finally get to the part, the reason why the plow had to go into the ground was to cast the seed so that it would grow. The reason why you had to strip the trees off that piece of property was so that you could build something beautiful there. The reason why sometimes we have to throw out the junk in our house is because there's good stuff coming in. Am I telling you anything new? And the Lord wants to tear out the old stubborn pride of all of us so that he can come in and build up our hearts and plant. Jesus talks about that place to avoid as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's real. And it's so real that to wash away the sin and guilt of all of us took the blood, the innocent blood of God's own Son. That's what it says. That was God's plan. You can argue about it if you want. You can say it's despicable if you want. Doesn't matter. It is what it is. And it's beautiful to all those who repent and submit to God and say, okay, you wanted to save me that way. Christ died for all. Okay. You want to give me your kindness and love in such strange ways? Okay. You want to bring it in water with the promise, in bread and wine with the promise? You want to bring it in your word that just sounds like the foolishness of preaching? Okay. Because God loved you from all eternity. There are no exceptions. He knows you by name. I don't have to know your life. I don't have to know what you've gone through in the past weeks or today to get here. I can just tell you what God says. He loves you individually, personally, as if there's no one else to love. And if there was one sinner in the world, if that was you or if that was me, he would have come for the one sinner to bleed and die and wash your guilt away. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What is church for? What's it all for? So that you can hear the good news. Because God would really like to get to the building and the planting, the building up, the planting of the seeds of the gospel. He wants it all for you. I just pray for you, for me, for all. Yesu, Yuwa, Jesus. Help. Amen.